open door. Welcome. Glad you're here. Good morning. Can everybody give Travis a round of applause on the great job he did with the kids this morning? What an awesome blessing we have to have children in the house of the Lord, right? Before we get started today, if you would just take a brief minute and go to the Lord and pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the time we have that we can gather in your name, that we can worship the great name of Jesus. God, this opportunity we have that we can set aside all of the things of this world, all of the things that are distracting us, the things that have us down. Lord, that we can take time to just seek you. So I pray, Lord, this morning that we can be still for just a little bit. That we can take heed for just a little bit. So that we can see what you have for us to learn today. So we can see you today, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit rains down upon this place that we are excited and overjoyed as we connect with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that this morning, as we come to your word, as I stand before you, as I'm blessed with the opportunity to stand before your throne and before the people of God, God, I pray that these aren't my words or my ideas or my concepts, but rather, God, that this is your message, your word, your will. And God, I pray, and if I'm not the man to stand here today, that you silence my lips and you rise up another man to come up and preach your word. I pray, Lord, that you forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. And that you allow me to come before you and this body of believers clean for you. God, it's in your great name I pray this morning. Amen. Open door, it's been a rough Sunday morning. I don't know about you guys, but I started this morning with going to my printer to grab my sermon. And I mean, it's only like 800 pages. It's no big deal. But like, of all the pages that printed, I'm missing page one. So I don't really know where to start this morning. Always, thank you for that. Thank you for that wisdom, sir. But see, if it was just that, it would be okay. But see, then, for those of you who noticed, the PowerPoint looked a little weird this morning. That's not Isaac's fault, or mine, for the record. But turns out we have some problems with our computers in the sound room. It's no big deal, we're working through it, but it was one more issue, to which some tech guys and myself talked, and we had a solution for it. But the solution didn't end up working. So we had to go to backup plan number like 8. But it's okay, because we're going to keep pressing on, right? Sometimes we go through difficult times in life, but we just got to keep pressing on. That's not the entire message I have for you this morning. Actually, that's the irony of the message I have for you this morning. Because I called Larry and I said, hey, listen, this is what I'm preaching on. And he goes, cool. Just wait till that happens to you this week. I said, no. Come on, man. Don't wish that on me. He goes, no, don't worry. You're going to need some encouragement this week. So that's what I came to preach today. I actually have gone back and forth a handful of times on what to preach on. I prayed about it for about 3 weeks, knowing that I was preaching this today. Even about 2 weeks ago, Charlie and I were talking, and when he was telling me about his sermon, I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I'm thinking about preaching in the Old Testament too. I've been thinking about preaching in the Old Testament because currently I'm studying an Old Testament survey class. And so an Old Testament lesson would be easy. An Old Testament sermon would be easy for me to teach. Because I'm learning about the Old Testament, and I've been studying and spending hours writing papers on the Old Testament. And so I thought, sweet, I'll teach on Genesis. We'll talk about creation. I've been to the Creation Museum a handful of times, just a handful. I know a lot about the creation story. I'm like, I'll preach on that. I thought, no, I'll preach on the ark, the significance of the ark. Then I thought, wait, hold on, I got it. I'll preach on the Old Testament covenants and Jesus completing it. And I kept going back and forth and back and forth. And as I talked with other leaders and teachers about my sermon, one thing remained the same: the encouragement that they were giving me. So in my prayer time, while sitting and studying and praying and talking about what am I going to preach on, it came to me, God reminded me, we need to encourage one another. Encouragement is incredibly important in the believer's life. So I have a little story for you. I didn't make up this story. I read this story somewhere years ago, and I searched and searched and found it again. I thought you would enjoy this story. So once upon a time, there were a group of frogs. They were traveling through the woods. Two of them, they fell into a deep pit. The other frogs traveling with them crowded around the pit, and they saw how deep the pit was, and that there was no hope for them. There was no way they'll get out. The two frogs, however, they didn't listen to what was going on. They didn't see their surroundings. They just kept jumping and jumping and jumping. The crowd around them starts screaming and shouting, "Stop! Give up! There's no hope! Just quit! You will never make it out." They kept jumping until one of the frogs finally said, "There's no way, there's no hope." He heeded the advice of those around him. He gave up and he died. The other frog kept going and going, and he kept jumping and he kept jumping. Even though the crowd around him is screaming, "Stop, it's not worth it, there's no hope, just give up." Finally, the frog jumped just hard enough that he made it out of the pit. And when he got to the crowd around him, the crowd said, "Didn't you hear us shouting at you? Didn't you hear us telling you there's no hope?" The frog explained, "I'm deaf. I couldn't hear a word." The moral of the story is sometimes people around us don't always give good encouragement. Sometimes we just got to keep going. I have been blessed with the opportunity of having a lot of people around me who are very encouraging. In fact, in this church, we are very blessed to have a lot of very encouraging people. I have the privilege to hang out with several of these people over the last couple weeks. This week was a vacation for me, so I got to hang out with all kinds of people this week. The truth is, I got to hang out with some people who just keep encouraging me. Keep going. Keep fighting the fight. Keep running the race. Good times, bad times, keep going. Open Door, we are blessed to have several people like that in our church, in our family. The sad truth is, that's not normal for our day and age. That's not normal for our society. Actually, the sad truth is, in our world, we don't generally encourage one another too often. It's become a thing where bullying has become a major epidemic amongst schools. Words hurt. I always grew up with the mentality of sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I find that to not really be the case, because sticks and stones break my bones, but words make me go cry in the corner. Words are powerful. A very wise friend of mine once told me, words are important. Don't forget it. See, the truth is, words have an effect on people. Good, bad, and everything in between. If you don't believe me, that's okay, because I'm not that smart. I understand. So in psychology today, Dr. Lisa Ferenc writes this. She says clients in their 60s and 70s, 67-year-olds, right? They still recall the exact words and phrases of the people who belittled them and hurt them as in their childhood. Sure, it's just one doctor. It's just a rare one-off, right? It's just a one-off occasion. But think to yourself and think, can you ever think of anything anybody has ever said mean to you? Anything that's ever put you down or hurt you? I can. Sadly, the people who have put me down, the people who have challenged me, the people who have tried to hurt me, more often than not, I remember what they say better than the ones that encourage. But what does God's word say? If you have your Bibles with you, open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 25 today. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-25. But I think that it's important for us to talk about the word. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12, it says this. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without seeking. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Church, this passage can be difficult to fully understand. I'm not a theologian by any standpoint. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. I'm not really even very good at all the hermeneutics of the words. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. All right, go see Larry or Zeke or one of those guys for that stuff. So when I read a text, though, I have to kind of break it down and make it a little bit simpler for myself. This text, in trying to simplify, in trying to better understand, we can look at it like this. In verse 12, we see that the text is teaching us to respect those who are called to teach and specifically lead. Right? So, love and respect those who feel called to teach and lead. Now, this is the only specific piece of the text that's talking about those who are in leadership or teachers. All of the rest of the verses focus around all the other believers. So as we break it down, we should be at peace with one another. We should be unified we should be able to sit in the same room together. Just because you don't like my shirt does not mean that we can't get along. Just because I think the church should have orange carpets and you don't like that idea does not mean that we shouldn't be able to get along. I don't really want orange carpets. Please don't stone me later. All right, listen. Just because we may not see eye to eye on a style does not mean that we as believers should not be able to be unified in the gospel. Church, we gotta stop fighting over the stupid little things and start fighting for the important things, like the gospel, like the people who are hurting, like the people who need help. This church here, if you paid attention to the video a few minutes ago, if you pay attention to the state missions offerings and what that's going to, they're working with people who need help. That church started an after-school program because that's what their community needed. They're not debating over what to teach in the back-to-school, in the after-school program. They're not talking about, well, this style is better than this style, or this teacher is better than... Listen, the point is this. They started an after-school program because that was a need. Church, we should be at peace with one another. We should be able to work together for the kingdom, for the gospel. Sometimes that's hard. I just really do not like Charlie's shirt today. But you know what? I know. I'm sorry. I picked the wrong shirt to make fun of. But it's okay to not like every single thing about every single person. Some people do not like it when I have my hair long. I know. It's okay. Some people don't like it if I stop shaving for a period of time. Listen. It's okay. We can still serve together. He can play the drums. I can play the bass. We're in good shape, right? Okay. I'm obviously joking about the silly things, right? Because it's funny to make fun of the little pieces. But how about when we actually can't sit and talk with another brother or sister because we wholeheartedly do not like them? Or because they disagreed with something that we did? Why are we so caught up in ourselves that we can't focus on the gospel? Church, we need to be at peace with one another. We got to admonish the idol. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had to look up this word. Actually, I had to have Cynthia look up this word because I didn't really know what admonish means. Listen, admonish, easiest way to explain it is to encourage or to course correct a little bit more sternly. Okay? We should come to somebody and we should encourage them, we should challenge them, we should push them when they're being idle, when they're not moving, if they're not doing something, if they're not serving. Church, if you are a member at Open Door Baptist Church, part of joining the membership, when Larry stands up here and asks you, do you agree to, one of the things he asks you agree to do is what? To serve within a certain amount of time. It takes time to find a place to serve sometimes. If you are a member at Open Door Baptist Church, are you serving? If you're not serving and Zeke comes to you and asks you, hey, why aren't you serving? Are you going to leave because you just got asked a question? Are we that easy to offend, brothers and sisters? We should admonish the idle. We should challenge those who aren't doing anything. That doesn't mean that we should go and beat them over the head. Judah. All right, I'm just saying, no beating over the head. However, we should go to one another. We should go and challenge with love to do something, to serve the God that we so are excited about serving. Church, we got to encourage the faint-hearted. Sometimes life's tough. Sometimes everything in the world feels like it's against you. Sometimes you just have a bad day. Have you ever had a bad day? Good. You all are perfect. I'm the only one who's had bad days. I'll see you guys later. Listen, I know most of you well enough to know that I'm confident in saying all of us have had a bad day here or there. Those bad days, man, they just take the wind out of you. They make you want to just give in and give up. Sometimes it's work, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's the not friends at work, sometimes it's whatever it might be, but we have tough times. And you know what? We need to be encouraged. We need to have brothers and sisters around us that can encourage us to keep pursuing Christ. Sometimes we got to have friends, brothers and sisters around us just to remind us, hey, I need to get back into the Word. I need to get back into the Bible. I need to get back into Sunday school. Or sometimes it's something as simple as, I had a rough year at VBS this year. I don't know if I can serve again. Sometimes we need a brother or sister. Just kidding. I'll keep serving. Don't panic. Sometimes we need that brother or sister to come beside us and say, hey, VBS was tough for me too. Don't worry. We'll get through it together this year. I got the chocolate in the back. We need to help the weak. Listen, sometimes, church, if you're a little bit older in your faith, sometimes you've seen things that others haven't seen. Sometimes you've been through difficulties in ministry, in life, that others haven't seen yet. Travis and I talked a couple weeks ago about some of the things we're going through in ministry. And as he was telling me things he was going through and things he was doing, I couldn't help but laugh a little bit. And I thought, man, has it been that long? Have I been serving so long that I forgot that these are things that we go through in the beginning? But I was able to help Travis. I was able to stand with Travis and say, hey, you're going to get through this. Sometimes people are weak in their faith. They don't understand what God is doing for them or why God is allowing them to go through things. Sometimes they're weak in understanding. Sometimes they're weak in physical strength. Like Travis learned when we did a Tough Mudder together. I'm weak in physical strength, and he had to help me out.
Amen.
I'll remember that later. Church, sometimes the weak aren't even among us. You realize in this state, there are thousands of people who are not saved. And if Ed was here, he could give us the exact statistics on the exact number in our communities. But I can't give all those numbers. He's got all that memorized somehow. But what I can tell you is this. Of the thousands of people that are not saved in our state, you guys realize that there are children amongst that. That there are children across our state who are not saved. There are children across our state who go home and are hungry. Now I'm just talking about our state, right? We're not even talking about the entire United States or the globe where things like sex trafficking have become a real problem. Right? We're not even talking about things like people, actually children in other countries who are going to bed not without just food, but without basic necessities, or children who are being sold to the orphanages, who are being given to orphanages because they believe that, you know what, I can't take care of this child. Church, we have to help the weak. We should have a conviction to help those who need help. This one's really tough for me. We have to be patient with all. If you would have seen me this morning in the sound room, you would have probably not asked me to be here today, because I was not very patient with the computer. I thought about throwing it out the window because I thought that would be easier. I struggle with patience. I have a hard time personally with patience. In my brain, I just think, well, it makes sense. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. That having your food the way you want it, when you want it, kind of is like milked into my brain. But see, we're called to be patient with all. Not just believers, but with everyone. So it means that when we disagree with a believer and we are trying to help them get through it and help them through it, and we're trying to be in unity with them, we have to be patient. It means we can't just lose our temper and throw them out the window, because that doesn't really do any good. And we can't just walk away and say, all right, wash my hands of you, I'm done. We got to be patient with one another. Sometimes that means that we have to sit there and cry together. And sometimes that means we have to sit there and be upset with each other, but talk through it. And sometimes it means, you know what, we have to admit, I don't like what's going on, but I trust God enough that I want to work through it with you. Church, that's hard. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like admitting when I'm wrong. I find it very difficult to do. I can tell you that I'm not wrong very often, but I just feel like everybody in the room knows that's not true, so it doesn't work. And if you talk to Cynthia, she'll tell you I'm wrong more than I, you know, admit that I'm wrong. So it's okay. Church, we have to be patient with one another. Sometimes we have to be patient with those of us who are stubborn. And I'm sorry. I apologize. Because I know as a one of the stubborn community, that can be very difficult. And we're the word very difficult to deal with. So on behalf of the stubborn community, those who won't apologize in advance, I apologize. But please be patient with us. Church, we have to seek good. That seems like it should be simple, right? Seeking good. And yet we live in a world that is so not good. We live in a world that is so mixed up and confused that the lines of good and evil, of right and wrong, have become blurred. We rationalize. We try to explain, well, it's okay because... Seek what is good. Seek God. Seek God's word. These last two pieces here of this text, rejoice. We should be excited. Guys, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve an almighty God. We should be excited about that. We should rejoice. And we have the ability to talk with him anytime, which is why we should pray without ceasing. We shouldn't stop praying. And yet even here at Open Door, and I think we have a great church, but here at Open Door, our prayer meeting is the least attended service that we have every single week, in and out. Pray without ceasing. Church, we shouldn't stop praying. You definitely need to have your eyes open while you're driving, but don't stop praying. We have the ability to talk with God at any moment of any day, of any time, and yet, that's our last resort. It's the last thing we think about. It's the last thing we jump to. Church, we need to pray without ceasing. And lastly, we need to give thanks forever. Because everything we have in our lives, every blessing we have, everything this church has, is thanks to God. Now look, I've tried to explain this text because I want to encourage you guys with something today. But I haven't started preaching at you yet, so relax. Enjoy your seats for a few minutes. Here's the thing. What we need to learn from this passage of Scripture, we need to encourage our leaders and our teachers. I'm going to do something strange that some of you guys are going to be upset about me later for. So if you are a teacher here at Open Door Baptist Church, would you please stand for a minute? Sunday school teacher, Wednesday night teacher, if you are a substitute here at Open Door Baptist Church in any way, shape, or form, please stand for a minute. This is only a small group of people who are standing. There's more. We need to pray for these people. We need to encourage these people. Church, do you realize that these people are spending hours of time every single week to prepare for a lesson? And let me tell you, if they're in the children's ministry, they're spending even more time, because then they also got to deal with our kids. As a parent, I know that can be hard. You guys can be seated. Thank you. But we need to encourage these people. Everybody, give a round of applause for our teachers here at Open Door Baptist Church. These people work very hard at what they do. And it is not a walk in the park. It is not easy to prepare in and out every single week. Zeke, I'm going to pick on you only because I feel like I can do it and you won't yell at me later. But is it easy for you to prepare for Sunday school every single week, sir? No. Does it take sacrifice to do, sir?
Yes.
Do you enjoy what you do?
Most of the time.
Amen. Thank you. Church, let me just say, that's the honest truth there. Because, you know what? It's not easy to prepare. And you know what? It is sacrifice. Which is why we need to encourage them. And every other teacher that's in this place, we need to encourage them. Pastor Larry's not here, so I get to really pick on him for a minute. I had these cool pictures he sent me that I was going to get to put on the PowerPoint. It didn't work out. He let his hair go down while he was out on vacation. Ask him about it. Trust me. The thing is, Pastor Larry works very hard every single week. Sadly, there are still people, even in our church, that go, "Well, you only work one day a week. How hard can it be?" And I got to tell you, you couldn't be any further from the truth. Talking about somebody who drops everything when he finds out you're headed to the doctor, to the hospital. You're talking about somebody who meets with not just one or two or three, but several of us every single week. You're talking about somebody who's nonstop on the phone talking through different things and through issues, and sometimes it's encouraging and sometimes it's not. You're talking about somebody who is attacked frequently. Pastor Larry needs our encouragement. Amen. In Matthew 22, verse 36, it says this: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest, this is the great and first commandment." Verse 39 says, "And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend the law and the prophets." We're called to love our neighbor as ourself, and yet our pastor, the one who's our shepherd, our leader, is the guy we beat up the most. Good thing our neighbors are taken care of, right? Church, we have to encourage our pastor. It doesn't stop there, though. Church, we need to encourage our brothers and sisters. Now, don't think just biology. You're not going to get out of this with the technicality here that you just got to encourage your brother or your sister only. Listen, we at the church here, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? Don't make it weird. Just understand this. That we are a family here. Every part of a family, we are family here. We need to encourage one another. I know, it's tough. 1 John 3:16 says this: "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. See, encouragement is difficult because we just don't think about it sometimes, right? But we got to love one another. We have to love one another so much that it seems sacrificial. Because the truth is, we need to be there for one another. We need to have each other's back so that when we go through those tough times, when we go through these trials and tribulations and these difficult times of life, we can come out of it knowing that there are people around us that have our backs. There are people around us that remind us that God has our back. My last point, last thing I want you to understand today is this. We need to encourage ourselves. Church, we as believers are powerful when we rely on God. If we rely on our own ability, or our own understandings, or our own skills or talents, But we're powerful when we rely on God. Isaac broke the PowerPoint, otherwise we'd have all these verses up here. Philippians 4:13 says this: "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Isaiah 40:31 says this: "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Are you encouraged yet? Church, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Exodus 15:2 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Church, are you encouraged yet? Let me help a little bit more. Joshua 1:9 says, "I have not commanded you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, but the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God gave us not a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isaiah 40:29 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." Psalm 27:1 of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I ever be afraid?" Psalm 31:24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Open door. We have a God who cares for us. We have a God who is empowering us. We have a God who tells us to take courage, to stand strong. Open door, we should be excited. And you know what? In those tough times when things are bad, let another brother or sister in. Because together, when we run to God, he's going to remind us through these passages, through several other passages, that together, when we focus on him, he will take us through. I figured I'd use a little bit of the counseling stuff that I've learned in my couple years now. How do these verses make you feel? Do they make you feel sad? Does it make you feel like you're not important? Let me help. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you. He sent him to die for you. Yeah, for you. All those things you did, yeah, I know. I don't know, he knows. It's nothing. See, the debt's been paid. The slate has been made clean. Christ died for everything wrong that I've ever done. The same thing applies to you. So church, we have the best news ever made in history. Is that the God of the universe loves us so much. We need to encourage one another. We need to encourage our leaders, and we need to encourage ourselves. How do we do it? That's different for every person. If you want to know how to encourage one another, this is a challenge that I can't tell you just one thing. I can't just say, go out and go buy somebody a McDonald's gift card. That'll work. Or that if you go and pray over them, that's going to solve everything. This is a word that I have to tell you to encourage one another. It's going to look different for every single person. But I can tell you, without a shadow of doubt, that if you don't know anyone, or you don't get to know someone, it is really hard to encourage them. So, church, I leave you with this. Be an encouragement. Be encouraged. Encourage others. However God leads it on your heart to do. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day.